Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCV Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, we have the pleasure of talking with Sunshine Hartwell. And let me tell you all how I met Sunshine to get her here. We were at the LGBTQI Film Festival a few weekends ago, and it was really, really fun. And so we needed people to come on some guests on the radio. So I told Cher I was going to take a walk around and look at the faces of all the people there, and I was going to look for those interesting-looking ones.
And we found a lot of interesting ones, and some people said no.
And a lot of people said no, and then I saw this one woman, and she had purple hair. And I say she's young, and she had purple hair. So I'm going to go over to her. And so that's how we got Sunshine Hartwell to be our guest. Sunshine is an LGBTQI outreach coordinator and youth advocate for Voices.
And we have just a little paragraph about what Voices is that we got off the internet for those of you that might not know. But Voices brings together more than 40 partnering agencies to provide housing, education, employment, and wellness services to transitioning youth ages 16 to 24. Created and run by former foster youth, which is really exciting for Diana and me since we are foster parents, Voices is the first organization of its kind in the nation. So we wanted to welcome you, Sunshine,
welcome
to our show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
That we needed to hear your voice, just in case people, you know, didn't really believe that we had anyone in the studio.
I'm for real.
And before we break with Greg and news and events, I wanted to just put a shout out for Diana and me. We just celebrated our 38th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you. So, yeah, Cher said, stay tuned. You learn more about Sunshine and how she navigates her life and her work at Voices. But first, here's news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, December 6th, 2015. On Monday last week, Mexico's Supreme Court struck down a law banning gay marriage in the state of Jalisco. The court deemed that all bans on same-sex marriage are unconstitutional. Two gay couples challenged the state's civil code after they were denied the right to marry after their applications to do so were rejected. Once again, the High Court ruled that the move discriminated against LGBT people and therefore is unconstitutional. It added that the authorities could not deny benefits to the claimants or set charges related to the regulation of marriage. The ruling stated, quote, as the purpose of matrimony is not procreation, there is no justified reason that the matrimonial union be heterosexual, nor that it be stated as between only a man and a woman. Such a statement turns out to be discriminatory in its mere expression, end quote. And in honor of World AIDS Day this week, Vanity Fair debuted a new documentary called When AIDS Was Funny, a short by filmmaker Scott Colonico, that shows how the Reagan administration shrugged off the spread of HIV in the mid-80s. Featured in the movie are never-before-heard audio tapes from three separate press conferences in 1982, 83, and 84, in which White House Deputy Press Secretary Larry Specs can be heard laughing and even cracking homophobic jokes as reporters questioned him about the crisis. Here's some audio from that piece.
Does the president have any reaction to the announcement of the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta that AIDS is now an epidemic of over 600 cases?
AIDS.
Over a third of them have died. It's known as gay plague. No, it is. I mean, it's a pretty serious thing that one in every three people that get this have died, and I wonder if the president is aware of it.
I don't have it. Are you? Do you?
You don't have it. Well, I'm relieved to hear that, Larry.
Do you?
No,
you,
I don't.
You didn't answer my question.
Well, I just wondered,
how do you know?
Does the president, in other words, the White House looks on this as a great joke?
No, I don't know anything about it, Lester.
Does anybody in the White House know about this epidemic, Larry?
I don't think so. I don't think there's
nobody
been any.
Knows.
There's been no personal experience here, Lester.
No, I mean, I thought you were keeping...
I checked thoroughly with Dr. Ruge this morning, and he's had no patients suffered from AIDS or whatever it is.
The president doesn't have gay plague. Is that what you're saying, or what?
No, didn't say that.
Didn't say that.
I thought I heard you on the State Department over there. Why don't you stay over there?
because I love you, Larry.
Oh, I see. Well, let's don't put it in those terms, Lester.
Oh, I retract that.
I hope so.
And here locally, with winter break and the holidays just around the corner, this season may bring a mixed bag of emotions, gratitude for rest, excitement to be with chosen family, or worries about where to be safe. As many of us reconnect with our families, the NAPA's LGBTQ Connection is centering on the importance of family in our community and invite you to a special event led by LGBT youth. Youth leaders have designed a Posada event for the whole family. It'll be held at the NAPA LGBTQ Connection at 780 Lincoln Avenue in Napa, coming up on December 10th from 5 to 8 p.m. There'll be delicious food, extraordinary family fun, and insightful information. You can learn more about this event at lgbtqconnection.org. And finally, the Thanksgiving Lutheran Church is collecting rain ponchos for the homeless in anticipation of a very rainy winter. Donations can be dropped off this week on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m., or on Sunday between 9 a.m. and 12 noon at 1225 Fulton Road. You can learn more at thanksgivinglutheran.org. Now here's your calendar events for the coming week. On Monday, December 7th at 2 p.m., the Sonoma General LGBT Support Group will gather at 276 East Napa Street in Sonoma. And on Tuesday, December 8th at 10 a.m., the Napa Valley Older Adults Discussion Group will happen at the Queen of the Valley Community Center, 3448 Villa Lane in Napa. And also on Tuesday at 6 p.m., the Transgender North Bay Group, male to female, will meet at Positive Images, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Saturday, December 12th at 7 p.m., the Russian River Sisters will present Ugly Christmas Sweater Bingo at the Veterans Memorial Hall in Guerneville. This one will benefit Bob Burke's kids. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. Tickets are $20 for two bingo cards, and you can learn more at rrsisters.org. For more information about LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. And for all the latest LGBT news headlines, go to our website at outbeatnews.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for updates from Outbeat Radio News all week long. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
And thanks, everyone, for rejoining us in Living Proof, and Diana and me and our guest, Sunshine Hartwell. And if you just joined us, we're in studio live.
Yeah. Hi. How you doing, Sunshine? You ready for this?
I'm super ready, seeing as I was late running around.
Well, we're glad you got here safe. So tell the audience more about Voices and your roles, because you have like a couple hats and you do a lot of things there. And so, yeah, let's start there. And why were you interested in becoming part of Voices?
Well, I'll start from the beginning.
Okay.
I moved back from Humboldt County just this last summer, and I walked into Voices looking for a job. They said, apply now. And the next day I had an interview, and I got an internship. And that just led to, I saw that there was a gap in, we had no LGBTQ club or anything, and I felt that that was a big issue. And so my goal was just to start a club. That was the only thing I was thinking of. And then 2 months later, I'm full-blown youth advocate and part of this LGBTQ Connection program and became the outreach coordinator and the LGBTQ youth advocate for this program in a matter of 3 months.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
You didn't intend for that when you walked in.
No, I was just looking for job help because I'm a former foster youth, and so I went in to utilize their services.
Oh. Like, well, tell us about their services.
So we operate under the four pillars of housing, education, employment, and health and wellness. And so what we act as Voices is a hub for these resources. We bring as many of these resources in as we can, such as we have a health and wellness navigator, and she will sit with you, make your doctor's appointments, go with you to the doctor if you're uncomfortable going. We also have a woman come from Santa Rosa Junior College, and she specializes in financial aid and gives priority to our youth because most of them are either foster youth or struggling in some way. And so she sits with them for however long it takes and gets their financial aid sorted out. And those are just some of the things.
And so you went there for services?
Yeah, I went there. I knew I could do some job search, employment help there. Or like looking for employment, and so that's why I walked in there.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned being a foster youth, and that brings up a whole lot of questions for me that I want to ask you about, but not just yet. Mm-hmm. I do want to ask you about Voices. They help foster youth, or do they help any youth?
So Voices was actually started as just a foster youth support program, but it extended to homeless youth and any youth struggling on the verge of homelessness or anything between the ages of 16 and 24. So we don't discriminate, but we also have specific programs that are targeted at foster youth, targeted for foster youth that not everyone has access to, but overall we help anyone who's struggling.
Which are those that are targeted for the LGBT community?
Oh, I was talking about, I mean, specifically for
the foster youth. Okay, yeah, yeah, okay.
And so my role was, we need services targeted for the LGBTQ community.
Uh-huh.
That's where I come in, and that's where I fall into this roller coaster of becoming employed as the outreach coordinator and the youth advocate, specifically for the LGBTQ.
So have you welcomed this opportunity? I mean, less than 3 months, you got all these different hats you're wearing and doing all this work. So is this... You excited about this?
I love it every single day. I had no idea that I was going to come into this. I fell into it, and it's just the best thing that's ever happened to me. Mm. I realized that this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I went to college to start being a marine biologist.
In Humboldt. Just recently, yeah.
Yeah. So after a couple of years of realizing that's not what I wanted to do, I came in, and with all this... practical experience, the hands-on experience, the outreach, the engaging of youth and connecting youth and having just support for them. That's what I want to do. And eventually I want to just do counseling, but that's in the future.
You mean as in psychotherapist?
I'm thinking more along the lines of what I'm doing now, which is just peer counseling and seeing where that goes. 'Cause I had no idea I'd be doing this. Who knows where I could be going?
Yeah. So what exactly are you doing?
So,
mm-hmm.
Starting up the program, I work with my partner in crime, from Napa Voices, and they are the program coordinator. So we work together. We go out to high schools right now because that's the age range is 16 to 24. So we've gone to a few high schools and given presentations on what Voices is, first of all, because we're doing outreach for both, as well as bringing in youth who might not be able to speak up for themselves. As in, part of the outreach is not everybody comes out as LGBTQ at their school, or even a lot of people don't even know that don't share that they're foster youth. And so doing both of those, letting them know there's a place for them to go. Mm. So right now we're on a lower scale of just visiting as many high schools as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, we are trying to build up the Umbrella Union, which originally was my club idea. And that's all I thought I was going to be doing in the LGBTQ section.
Could you say that one more time? The what?
Umbrella Union?
Umbrella Union.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a clever name that I came up with.
Pat yourself on the back, yeah.
for the LGBTQ support group. And so my goal for the support group originally and still is, a little bit of education, because a lot of our youth these days have no idea what our history is. You know, I asked in my first successful Umbrella Union where people showed up, I asked if anyone knew who Harvey Milk was, and only one of my coworkers did, who was sitting in there out of a group of 10. And so that kind of shocked me a little. And so I see there's a need for education. So a little bit of education coupled with discussion and support. And that was just the main goal for me. And connecting them to as many resources as I can. But for this specific group, it was a support group.
Hmm. So give us your, when you walk into the office, I know probably every day is different, and I know that you've just said you go to different high schools and let people know about Voices, but let's say this isn't a day when you're not going out and you're just in the office for the day. What kind of things come up for you?
Wow. That is that's a huge question. Every day, every single day is different. Mondays, we have staff days, so we're closed. I have meetings all those days. And Tuesdays and Fridays are my designated, in quotation marks, LGBTQ work days, where my partner comes out from Napa and we work together, specifically on the projects we're trying to get running. And the rest of the week, I'm just youth advocate. And that means staffing the floor. But lately with the holidays, it's been helping a lot of youth in crisis, because going into the holiday season is really hard for foster youth and homeless youth and everyone in general, quote unquote, normal people. It's hard enough, but on the rest of us, it's extremely hard. And so youth just need as much support as we can, whether it's just someone to talk to or connect them maybe with psychiatric services. That's been a thing lately.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you're doing counseling work, you know. Yeah, based on what you just shared with us.
Yeah, it's pretty much what I do, and that's kind of why I know I want to do it for the rest of my life. It's I don't necessarily have a degree specifically in counseling, but it's more of a peer mentoring. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. That's so, what I do, yeah.
So what are some of the issues that show up with the foster youth that are concerning to you, like around the holidays? And you could speak from your own experience.
Actually, this was a good round of Thanksgivings I had. Mm. I had three of them. One of them was at Voices, and we put that on for invite only for youth who we know aren't doing anything for Thanksgiving. Mm. So we have that earlier in the week. And then I had my biological family, and I'm kind of wary about going there. They give me a little anxiety. Not exactly, as you can imagine, I went into foster care for a reason. And then my foster family, that's my favorite Thanksgiving, and it's all the extended foster kids who have grown out, maybe even having kids, and a lot of them come back for Thanksgiving, as well as my foster mom's biological kids and some of her cousins.
Wow, that sounds huge.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
So for me, it was actually pretty good. But something that does happen is people come in, youth come in, and they're just like, they're just down. They're down and out because they don't necessarily have somewhere to go. And that's why we have our Thanksgiving, to be that support system, to be a family, because Voices is really just a family. Even though we have youth who come and go, we try to treat everyone like their family. We give hugs there, which is not something you'll see in group homes. Mm-hmm. We're allowed to give hugs, and that's fantastic.
I'm curious about the hugs. Kids, are they open to them? I mean, are they like, hug me, hug me, hug me? Or you have to like kind of move toward them?
No, everybody's different. It's really, Voices is about relationship building.
That's beautiful.
So we build as many friendships and family relationships as we possibly can with each of our youth. It's not, we're not just a service center. We're emotional support. And so we do get attached to these youth as part of the job. Like my youth, they're also my friends. Sometimes I can go get coffee with them. Keep it at that, though. Another thing is, around the holidays, people get really stressed out about food. I don't know why. It's just, I mean, I guess I do get stressed out about not having enough food in the house. And it gets hard with a lot of the services closing down because of the holidays. Like, some of them are open, but some of them aren't open. And so we have a kitchen at Voices, and we try and keep as many hot meals in there as possible. And that's where a lot of the traffic goes, is upstairs into the kitchen.
Where are you located, Sunshine?
Right off of Mendocino and College.
Uh-huh.
It's 714 Mendocino Avenue, and it's right behind the T-Mobile building.
Okay.
Right there on the corner.
Okay.
About how many kids go in and out of there, right? Just an estimate of who's using the programs.
I'd say in a day, possibly, it could be anywhere from 10 to 30 in a day. And it really just fluctuates. Like, with the holidays, we do get actually a little bit less, traffic, because people might be able to go see their families, or they might be out. They kind of drop off the face of the earth, because some of our youth don't want any support during that time. They want to seclude themselves, and so part of all of our jobs is to reach out to these youth individually, whether it's, you know, we have their, you know, text them, make sure they're okay or anything like that.
Sounds so great. Are you in partnership with the foster and kinship care program at the JC?
I don't know about partnership, but I do know of them, and they have come to our events, like the Bear Cub Scholars.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have come to a couple of our, or they do, we do have a relationship with them, as well as Margaret Mann. She's financial aid, so not interchangeable, but the Bear Cub Scholars, their representative has come out a couple times.
Uh-huh. Could you tell the audience, maybe most people don't know what that is, the Bear Cub Scholars?
I'm still learning about it myself. I'm not quite yet a JC student, but it is a foster care support group, and I think you have to apply, and it's just like, oh yes, you are foster care, sort of thing. And they have a club meeting once a week, and you're able to get book vouchers easier, counseling a little bit easier.
So it's on the campus at the JC,
yeah,
versus you guys are across the street and down a ways.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right all in the same area, though, right, yeah, on Mendo.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Wow.
Are you aware of a foster parenting conference they're having in January?
No, but I did speak at a panel a couple months ago. It was a social worker retreat. Do you want to hear about
it? Yeah. What was that? Yeah, tell us about it.
And so what I gathered is, a lot of the times we hear these horror stories about, you know, foster parents, and that's what makes the news, is the bad stuff. And from the social workers, it's always like, don't do this, don't do this. They just get a lot of negative feedback. And what I hear about a lot of the time is, you know, this youth's needs weren't met. And so what we were trying to do with this panel is show success stories and positive families and positive foster parenting, basically. And my foster mom came with me, and we made the whole audience cry. And it was me and three other foster youth just talking about, like, what makes a good foster home, and what we should be instilling in these foster homes, rather than telling them what they can't do. And the biggest thing for me, my main message was, don't become a foster parent if you can't accept every single youth under the rainbow. That was my message, because I'm always looking at things in a from an LGBTQ lens, so that's always my goal, is acceptance.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get the audience to cry, you and your mom? What story did you tell?
I told a lot of stories, but I think the one They cried about like a lot of things. But my main story was my foster mom, and probably because I started crying, that they started crying. My foster mom, we would have family dinners every single night. She would plan for us to be home and plan for us to cook together and clean together. And I just have these, I had an amazing group of foster sisters because one of my biological sisters was there as well, my little sister. And we'd be dancing around the kitchen singing Rent.
Oh, yes. Great songs. Yeah.
So it just stuff like that, just good things. And it was a great accepting environment. Mm. That's my favorite thing. I think that's what a lot of people don't understand. It's not about what you shouldn't do necessarily, but there's a lot of things that we need to instill as far as relationship building.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. I bet your foster mom was really proud of you.
Oh, she cried too. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of her too. She's awesome.
That's beautiful that you have a close relationship with her, and that Thanksgiving you had all the other foster kids come and previous foster kids come and biological family. That's beautiful, huh, Cher?
Wonderful. How about how many people were there?
This one was actually a smaller one. We only had about 20.
Nope.
Oh.
We crammed all of us, and there's a little couple youngins running around. And last year and the year before, though, we get close to 35. This year we didn't rent out the hall because we weren't going to have quite as many, but still, it's still a full crowd, a full house. Yeah.
And here in Sonoma County is where you lived with the foster mom?
Yeah, out in Forestville, right near Emilino. I went to Annalee, though. Go Tigers.
You're funny, Sunshine. And we need to know where you get sunshine from. This would be a good segue into that.
Oh, gosh. You know, my whole life, I really wondered that. And people were like, oh, your parents were hippies. And I'm like, sure. Hippies, drug addicts, yeah. Hippies, less so. I always just thought my mom was crazy. And my whole life, I thought that she had sent my dad out of the room. And recently, I actually had a conversation with my dad about just, why is my name Sunshine, Dad? What happened there? And he was actually out taking care of my other siblings. I have many. How many? Maybe four at that point? Four older siblings? No. Yeah. No, I only have three older siblings. Never mind. I lose count between seven or eight. And he just told me that my mom saw the light coming through the window. And she's like, Sunshine. And my little sister's name is Andromeda. So, and then the other siblings are like Matthew, Nathan. They're normal. So I don't know exactly where it came from. But I love it now. I used to hate it as a kid. Every single song that you can imagine, Sunshine related. Walking on sunshine, sunshine on my shoulders. That song, My Girl Has Sunshine in It. I don't know. But I know all of them.
Sounds like you've come to embrace your name, Sunshine.
It really took a while. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really appreciate it until I moved out of my grandma's house Well, this is all pre-foster care, and so when I moved out of my grandmother's house, I moved about 8 times in a 2-year period, and it was the only way I made friends. So down in L.A., I went to a high school for half a semester, and there was this girl who would scream Sunshine across the quad, and so everybody knew my name, and I fell in with the right crowd, and I made some friends, and that's really the only thing that kept me going at that point. So I grew to appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a lovely story.
Yeah,
I'm full of them.
I know that people listening and Diana and I, we all want to hear more of your stories, but this is a really good time for a music break. So you have a favorite song. Could you introduce it for us? Tell us the name and who sings it and why it's your favorite or one of your favorites.
So it's kind of related to recently I went through a breakup. And I just put this song on repeat and realized I loved it. It's called If I Ever Feel Better by The Phoenix. And it's good. It's great.
Enjoy.
They say an end can be a start. Feels like a barbarian, it's still alive. It's like a bad day that never ends. I feel the chaos around me, a thing I don't try to deny. I better learn to accept that there are things in my life I can't control. They say love is nothing but a sore. I don't even know what love is. Too many tears I've had to fall. Don't you know I'm so tired of it all? I have no terror, these are spells. Finding out the secrets words won't tell. Whatever it is, it can be named. There's a part of my world that's fading away. You know I don't want to be clever, to be being a superior. True like ice, true like fire. Now I know that a breeze coming me away. Now I know there's much more dignity in defeat than a brother's victory. I'm losing my balance on the tightrope. Tell me please, tell me please, tell me please, tell me please. My place, I ain't even playing my own game. The rules have changed, well, I didn't know. There are things in my life I can't control. I feel the chaos around me, a thing I don't try to deny. I better learn to accept that there's a part of my life that would go away. Dark is the night, cold is the ground, and the sickle is silent to my heart. There's one that strives for hell to come. I am sure I come through, I don't know how. They say a man can be a star, it feels like a barbarian still out. I'm losing my balance on the tightrope. Tell me please, tell me please, tell me please, tell me please. If I ever feel better, remind me to spend some good time with you. You can give me your number. When it's all over, I'll let you know. If I ever feel better, remind me to spend some good time with you.
And welcome back to Living Proof. If you just joined us, that song was called If I Ever Feel Better by the group called Phoenix. Thank you for bringing that song in. It's a really, really cool song. We are in studio with Sunshine Hartwell, and Diana and I are having a very lovely time getting to know you, Sunshine. And Sunshine was telling us about her work at Voices, and now we're going to move in a little bit into Sunshine and her coming out story.
Yes, we are. And first I want to say you all miss Sunshine singing that song inside the studio.
I'm so nasally. It's not even, I've got sinus troubles right now.
But we didn't hear it. Anyways, Sunshine, so let's talk about your coming out story. You have one?
I have a, I mean, don't we all?
Yeah, right.
I have a little bit. It's a, I guess it's not little, but and this is ridiculous but true. Katy Perry, I kissed a girl and I liked it. And I hate to quote that, but I didn't, I guess you could say, accept that I was queer, not straight, until I was 18. Well, if I start from the beginning, my first girl crush was in the first grade. Mm. And I still remember her. But I was raised Mormon, and so trying to understand these feelings as a five-year-old, that did not comprehend, and I told her that lesbians go to hell. And from that day forward, I made this box inside myself that I, anything that wasn't of the norm didn't exist. So I pushed those feelings back, like, oh, it's just a friend. Like, everybody loves everybody. Like, it's just a friend. But it wasn't just a friend love for me in the long run. I had my first crush on, not my first crush. When I realized that I had a crush on one of my extended friends in senior year, I explored that a little bit, and then I entered my first relationship. My first girl kiss was after I'd graduated high school. So one of the hardest conversations I had was with my best friend, and she's out there listening right now. I had told her that I was bi, or I thought I was bi, and it was just a little hard for both of us because we don't like change. She also comes from a hard background with just struggling. She was, I won't tell her story, but we struggled as kids, and that's why we've been such good friends. And she just came to get used to it, and now I just tell her... Now I tell her random stuff, and she's a little baby feminist, and she's going strong. So, the other part is I never really came out to my dad. He just saw me making out with my girlfriend in the car, and didn't tell me about it until a month later. And that was pretty hilarious. And then I told all my siblings, and they were like, "Oh yeah, I mean, we kind of saw that coming." I don't know how they saw it coming, and it kind of hit me out of the blue. Not really, but, you know, when you ignore something for so long, it's easy to continue ignoring it.
So how did your dad take it? I mean, he told you a month later. How was that?
It was really fine. I haven't had any issues really with coming out. Well, I did have one. My ex-boyfriend... I told him, and he went crazy, like pushing Jesus on me and just not a lot of not good things. And I ended up blocking him from Facebook, you know, doing all that stuff. And it was just shocking because he was the last person I expected to react that way.
Why?
Well, because some people think it's okay to watch girl-on-girl porn, but not accept that real romantic relationships between women exist, and that whole realm of thinking, and so totally misogynistic. Mm-hmm. It just surprised me because he was very into that. That's why.
So I'm curious about that and you being with the boyfriend. So first grade crush... to senior year coming out. So you were dating guys at that point in between?
I dated a few guys. I was being compulsory. Is that how you say that? Heteronormative. And so for me, that the only models of relationships I've ever had were male and female, and that's it. I lived in Sebastopol for 9 years, and two women walking on the street holding hands, I thought they were friends because I held hands with my best friends. So I was never really exposed to anything like that until I was in foster care, and one of my foster sisters was queer. But I did date a lot of guys, and my friends used to come to me for advice because I just seemed to know. For me, it was mostly just common sense about the dating world, and boys are easy.
Really?
I think so. But maybe that's because I don't really go that way, so it just... it just never clicked the right way for me. I can't honestly say I've ever been in love with a guy, like a male identifying person.
So can I ask you a question about your foster family? You said one of your foster sisters was queer. And Diana and I, we've had 30 foster kids. And to our knowledge, only one of them was gay. And we, being gay or lesbian, were not accepted really within the foster parent groups. You know, we'd get together once a month and we'd get a lot of homophobia in the room. And I'm wondering, in your experience, having a foster sister who's gay or queer, how that was for you? How did your foster family handle that? And what lessons did you learn?
So my foster mom, I couldn't have ever, I don't think I could have ever gotten as lucky. I couldn't be luckier to have her as my foster mom. I started out just hanging out with my foster sister, the queer one, and she was kind of a feminist, so I learned a lot about that realm, and so those discussions with my foster mom started coming up. She is a youth, what is it? It's a youth minister at a Catholic church. So I was a little nervous about bringing up those conversations, and I went to the whole National Catholic Youth Conference and went through a very small abstinence phase. That's just a little funny. And we had conversations about it, and I was like, oh, I think this about why people can or cannot be gay. And she'd be like, well, why don't you just think about it a little bit? Just think on it. And so anything, she's just very accepting. And I started learning about what her views were on it by watching the news with her and learning that she just accepted and it didn't faze her either way. She's just like, I don't think the Pope or even the church is ready to start marrying LGBTQ, like the Catholic Church, but that's their own issue. And I fully support all of my youth who come in youth ministry. And she's like, some of her youth she'd kind of know after they left and went to college, and they'd come out, and she's like, I kind of knew, and she kind of knew for me, too. So when I was in foster care, I changed my mind a lot about things. Like, I was vegan for a week. I was vegetarian for a while. And she'd ask me, well, what are you even eating this week? And so when I came out to her, it was, okay, well, you change your mind a lot, so why don't you think about it? And it's just one of those things that stuck, unlike being vegetarian or vegan. But she just really didn't care either way. There was really nothing to deal with. It was, we were foster youth, and that was all that mattered, and we were family.
I like your approach, though. I like how you wanted to be safe. You kind of test the water. You looked at the news programs with your foster mom. You were just checking out her belief system so that you can feel safe to come out.
And I was a weird kid, too. Same. Well, that's just who I am. I'm very, I would sit back and observe for a long time before I participate. It's just, and that's not necessarily who I am now, but I'm still very much an observation person. I gather my information by sitting back and watching the room and seeing how other people react to each other, and then I make my move.
Is there any connection with childhood upbringing and what you witnessed and what you were around? And
yes and no. One of the things that I've been noticing, and I noticed it in myself, that when you're in survival mode and an unstable as a youth, as a child, you go into a survival mode. And that means you think about food, water, sleep. And for a long time, that's what my life was about. Even though I lived in the same place for 9 years, I didn't really call it a home. It wasn't a bad place, but my dad was in and out of jail. I was spending a lot of time with my mom, and she was very unstable person, both of them doing drugs. And I couldn't say that I really started developing until I was 16, like who I was as a person. That's why I changed my mind a lot. And that has to do with being a foster kid and being in survival mode. And a lot of the youth aren't able to start building positive relationships until they are stable within themselves. Mm-hmm. So I started noticing that a lot in myself, and it makes sense. There's a reason that I didn't realize I was queer sooner, and it was because maybe the people that I ended up living with weren't accepting. And actually, that's true. I lived with my super Mormon grandmother, my mother's mother. She had her own issues, but she would never have accepted me. And so maybe it was a safety thing that everything happened for a reason at the right time for me. And definitely when I lived in San Bernardino, that was not a place to come out or even live.
Mm-hmm. Who were you there with?
Oh, it was my older sister's ex-stepmom.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's your relationship now with your mom and dad and family?
My mom is homeless on the streets of Santa Rosa, and I haven't had a real conversation with her for about, sophomore year, so 2010. Mm. So about almost 6 years now, having a real conversation with her. And before that, it was spotty. So I make sure that I have a big wall between her and me, just for my own protection. It's something I've had to learn, because at one point I wanted to build a relationship. And with my dad and all of my siblings, actually, the ones I have contact with, I keep a barrier up because I need to protect myself, and it's the only way I can without letting it affect my whole life. Like, my dad just went to jail for a couple days last month, and he's working on being clean and sober. He's in a program right now, so that's good. But I still talk with him, and I still want like a relationship with him.
How does they accept you? You're being queer and all?
I didn't really give him a choice, actually.
Oh. Wow.
It's like, you do drugs and I'm gay, so really, what can you do to judge me? How can you really judge me? And my little sister, she's a little bit immature, so she didn't believe me at first, and she had her own ideas about it, and I just kind of was like, you believe what you believe, and you'll reach, you know, the acceptance point eventually. She's not hostile or anything towards me about it. It's just, she had to understand what it meant for me to be gay, not all of a sudden to her.
So I'm sitting here wondering a question, thinking about a question that maybe somebody listening is thinking too. And you certainly don't have to answer this if you don't want, but it does have to do with your mom. You said she's homeless on the streets in Santa Rosa. And I've never met anyone in my life who has a parent living on the street that I'm aware of. And my question to you is, so you live in Sonoma County, you work in Santa Rosa. Have you ever seen your mom on the street? Or if you did, or, and if you do, what, how do you react, or what do you do, or how is that for you?
The last time I visited her, I was up in Humboldt County, so I came to Santa Rosa to specifically visit her. And the first month I moved back, it was kind of a mistake, but I went, my older sister told me where she might be, so I went driving around that area. And really what it does is it's just very anxiety inducing, because I honestly don't know what I would say or what I would do. Or even if I would recognize her at this point, because meth is a drug that changes you physically. And but I do keep an eye out for her every day, which is weird. It's weird, and it's sad, but I do think about her at least once a day, and I do look for her in people on the street and in friends, like, you know, the youth. I listen for her name. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, thank
it's a
you.
Weird connection. It's weird. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Helping, because I help youth who are also on those same streets, dealing with similar problems. So at this point, no one's had contact with her for about 6 months, so I honestly don't know.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it's quite an interesting position you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, helping kids who are on the street, your family members, your mom, mm-hmm. and you're so strong and resilient. Where do you get that from?
I don't know. I find myself just lucky, honestly. I believe that every single thing in my life has happened for a reason. And maybe that's why, because at a very young age, I believed everything happened for a reason, and that I don't necessarily believe in God, but I also don't not believe in God. So, you know, I'm 21, so who knows? But I believe God doesn't give us anything we can't handle. And those two phrases, honestly, are the only thing that's kept me going. Because when everything was hard, I was like, I can handle this, because if I couldn't handle it, I wouldn't be here. And everything happens for a reason, and all of the times that I've struggled, I wouldn't ever give them back. I wouldn't ever have anything happen a different way, because that's just how it needed to be. I wouldn't be who I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's powerful. I feel your passion, and I like the way, you know, I hear that you really have learned to embrace yourself through this journey.
Something else is, you can't hate yourself into a version that you love. And so,
wait, say that one more time.
You can't hate yourself into a version that you love. Mm-hmm. And that all plays a part in accepting my name and accepting my history, accepting who my family is, and mm-hmm. and also not letting it bring me down every day, because easily it could. And it has before. Like, I do struggle with depression sometimes, and I do definitely have anxiety, but I have a passion and I'm going somewhere. That's it.
Oh, that was beautiful. I have a passion and I'm going somewhere. So I want to take a moment to have you do a shout out to your foster mom, because it seems like you have a wonderful relationship with your foster mom, and she's helped you to come out and to
in more ways than one.
Yeah, yeah, just to be safe, you know, to show who you really are. So you have the mic. You can just say whatever you want and do a shout out to her if you like.
You know, but she does play a huge role in me accepting myself, because I probably wouldn't have come out if I didn't feel like I could. It's Gail Ballinger. I know you're out there.
I knew that name.
There's people listening who know you, I bet. And I don't know if you're famous, but you're famous to me.
Oh.
We're at the end of our show, and we, as sorry as we are to see you go, we always like to ask our guests for words of wisdom to who's ever listening, or to whoever you would like to give advice to, or words of wisdom. So
I thought about this a little bit. My words of wisdom are, or encouragement, don't ever stop growing. Don't ever stop learning about the world around you, and don't ever stop learning about yourself. Because who knows where that can take you? And it sounds a little cliche, but I can tell you right now, from where I was to where I am, just learning about myself and growing and trying to grow every single day, I'm not done growing, but I do love where I am. I do love who I am.
It's beautiful.
Very beautiful. We want to thank you so much for being on our show tonight.
Thank you for having me. This is so exciting, even though I got so lost and so late.
He left home early enough, but you're here. You made it, and we're almost done. Thank you, Sunshine. I love your name, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
We love your name. We both love you. Yeah. So we want to say goodnight to everybody who's listening to our show, and remind you that, and Sunshine, to remind you that this show will be archived on our website at outbeatradio.org/livingproof in about 1 week, and then it will be available for anyone in the world to listen to. So my mom in Florida listens. So, and if she misses the live show, she goes online and hears the archive show. And we want to thank you so much once again for being on our show. And we want to remind everyone who's listening that just like Sunshine, you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, you can help our community be visible and be seen and embraced as vibrant, proud, and courageous. We'll be back next month. Until then,
good night.
So many answers, I don't know.
There are so many answers.
Realize that true question is how we grow.
True question is to grow.
So I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way. Can't stop. Change, yeah. So do it today, yeah. 'Cause I can see you.
Tune in next Sunday night for Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan. That's at 8 p.m. and only here on KRCB Radio 91. And if you missed today's amazing 25th anniversary performance by the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus at the Wells Fargo Center, benefiting face-to-face at Sonoma County, you can still show your support and enjoy the music by getting a copy of the chorus's new CD, Festive, with 19 holiday favorites performed by the Gay Men's Chorus over the last 4 years. You can learn more at sfgmc.org. Don't forget to download that free KRCB mobile app for your Apple or Android device. You can listen to your favorite radio shows like Outbeat Radio from anywhere in the world with internet access. It's free and available right now. You're listening to KRCB FM Windsor Santa Rosa Radio 91, online all the time at krcb.org.